God took and put skin on. He says he was with God in the beginning. Listen, at the very beginning of creation, the Bible is clear that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all present. They were all active. And Jesus himself, as it says in verse 3, it says, through him all things were made. So we see that Jesus has always existed, that things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. See, this little baby that took its first breath, stepped out of heaven and clothed itself. The Bible says that he emptied himself and took on flesh so that he could come and relate to you and to me. And so the interesting thing is that one of the things maybe that you're interested in, just like me, is that as you look at the night sky. Now, listen, we were out of town last night, but we got some rain, but it was pretty bad here last night, right? Yeah, it was bad. Some of you are like, you have no idea how bad it was. Some of us were praying to God last night. But the reality is that even in that storm, we see that God shows his power. As we look at the night sky, I don't know about you, but I love, how many of you like to go out and just look up at the night sky? I love it. I mean, you just go out and you see the vastness of this universe that we can't even comprehend. As a matter of fact, if you're like me, I like to keep up with celestial, you know, things that are coming toward the earth. I just like to know if things are headed toward the planet that might bump into it. And so there's this really neat phenomenon. If you're like me, there's this comet called Catalina that is headed our way. And on December 31st into January 2016 will be the greatest time for you to actually see that. And so I would advise you to check it out. But here's a picture that someone took of this comet that's made of ice that is headed our way. It's pretty amazing that even Jesus, having created everything, is responsible for this. It has a tail 500,000 miles long, and it's at a speed of 103,000 miles per hour. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. As we look at the universe, we see that Jesus is all-powerful, that he's all-knowing. But what do we see in John 1:14? We see something else, that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is the Christmas story, that Jesus took on flesh, that though he's the creator of everything, he came as a human being, having humbled himself as a little baby to a first century family that was poor, that was on the move, that wasn't necessarily as prepared as they should have been for his arrival, as they ended up in a stable and him in a manger. And here is the king of the universe. Here is the guy who created the stars, breathed them into existence, and now a little tiny baby in the arms of Mary, now wrapped in swaddling clothes, sitting in a manger. And so Jesus, God in the flesh, comes so that he can take on humanity, so that we have a Savior, that we have a God who can understand. And listen, some of you here tonight just need to hear something. That God understands where you are. That God understands what you're going through. That God understands that some of you are lonely. That some of you are depressed. That some of you are ecstatic and happy to have family. That some of you are going through good things and going through bad things. But there's not a God who is so distant and far away that he doesn't care. I'm reminded, and I think I've shared this story maybe one other time, but in the house we used to live in over in Hall County, I remember I was upstairs and I heard this noise, this racket going on downstairs. And we had this wood-burning fireplace downstairs, and it just sounded like the house was coming down. And I went downstairs and looked, and ultimately I find that there's this bird trapped inside my wood stove. And I'm just like, how in the world did a bird make it? And it made no sense whatsoever. But I'm looking in there, and this bird is just beating itself to death inside this wood stove. And I would open it up, and here's, seriously, I'm having this conversation with the bird. Just come on out. Just fly out. You're to safety. You just come this way. And just as clearly as I thought back on that, I thought, that is what God did for us. You see, so many times we're just banging ourselves to death in life, and God is just saying, come out, listen, this is safety, this is where it's at. But he had to get down on our level. And I thought to myself, man, if I could just be a bird and get in there with him and say, listen, I know the way out. And we laugh about that, but that's exactly what God was doing for you and for me on Christmas Day. Coming so that God in the flesh would say, I know the way. I know the way. And so Jesus came so that he could relate. That's one of the reasons that Jesus came. But we also see that Jesus came so that he could do something amazing. He came so that he could reveal who God is to us. So many times we ask the question, what is God like? And as a matter of fact, I went on Google and I just typed in, what is God like? And you can imagine, just thousands upon thousands of things popped up. There's so many things that are out there, but we don't have to wonder what God is like, because the Bible is clear that Jesus came so that we could know personally and see with our own eyes through the Scriptures what God is like. Let me just read some of the things that I found online. Some of them are interesting. Here's what it said. One person said, it's not, you know, just one single thing, and it's just in your mind. That's what God is. Another person said, it's just many things to many people is what God is. Another person said, it's just a spirit, just something to believe in when things get tough. That's what God is. And another one said, it's a friend, someone that gives you spiritual peacefulness, which sounds kind of nice. And the one that I thought was really kind of the funniest one was kind of a surfer dude, and he was just like, must be pretty cool. Look at all the stuff he gave us. Pretty amazing answers for people as they are asked the question of, what is God like? But we don't have to wonder. In John chapter 1, here's what John writes. And this is what he says about Jesus. He says, no one has ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. You see, when we want to know what our Heavenly Father looks like, what does God look like, we just have to look at the person of Jesus. Jesus was so clear. He says, listen, no one has seen God, because we know that God is spirit. He said, but listen, I have come so that you might know who God is personally. So you could answer the question, what is God like? You see, as we talked a few minutes ago about the fact that as we look at the stars and we talk about God doing all the creation, we kind of get the fact that God is all-powerful, that He's all-knowing, all these things. But many times that can seem like a distant, far-off God. But ultimately, Jesus came so that He would reveal to us, to me, to you, the heart of God, the heart of who God is. You see, it's through the life of Jesus that we get to find out what God's like. It's through Jesus that we get to see that God is love, that God cares about people personally. We see that God really, really, really likes children. We see that God really likes to tell stories. We also see that God is willing to get on His hands and His knees and wash someone's feet. And we also see that God is willing to go and be with those who are nasty and filthy, who don't have it all together, at the expense of those who are religious, telling Him that's not what He should be doing. You see, we get a chance to get a glimpse of what and who truly God is. What do we read in John chapter 14, verse 9? Jesus talking to Philip. Here's what He says. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time," and here's what I want you to get, "anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Anyone who has seen, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you want to know what God is like, look at me as I live my life in front of you. And He says, how can you say to us, show us the Father? So the Christmas story is about the fact that God understood that He needed to come so that we'd have a Savior who could relate to us. But ultimately, He wants us to understand how much God loves us. That God has done everything on our behalf. That He is stepping into time. And ultimately, the reason that Jesus has come is so that not only can He relate to us and reveal who He is, but ultimately His goal and His plan is that we would be restored. Christmas story of being restored. Now, we all make mistakes, right? We all say and do stupid things, right? The other day I was watching a TV show, and so it was the late night show with Jimmy Fallon, and they had this thing on here, and I thought this was perfect. So I want to show you just a couple of these that maybe you've done this. I don't know. So these are things that, why did I say that? It says, on my very first date, the waitress asked if I wanted super salad. I said, yes, please, I'll take super salad. Maybe. What's the next one? Ask the girl who cut my hair when her baby was due. She wasn't pregnant. Now, you probably have done, yeah, people raising their hand all over. We just mess up, don't we? What's another one? An interviewer asked book title. I thought best described me. I panicked and said, Pride and Prejudice. I'm not sure if she got the job or not. Got on the elevator with someone that I thought rode with earlier, and I said, we meet again. It wasn't the same person. We've all done things like this, and I think there might be another one. It says, look for lunch. Saw marquee sign that said Montefry. My friend said, let's go there. That sounds good. The sign equaled Monday to Friday. Listen, we laugh at those, but every single one of us, if we're honest, wish that there were things that we had said that we could take back. We're not perfect, are we? You see, the Christmas story is about the fact that an imperfect humanity needed a Savior that could step in. You see, every one of us have sin in our life. Every one of us have things that I've done, that you've done. They're different. I don't know about yours. You don't know about mine. But God knows that we desperately need a Savior. And so Jesus steps into humanity so that He can begin the process and complete the mission of restoring the opportunity that we can have a relationship with God. And so here's the good news. John chapter 1 spells out what the ultimate goal of what Jesus wants to do and the thing that we can actually have, the greatest gift at Christmas. John 1, 12 says this, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. The right to become children, to be a friend with God, to be adopted into His family, to have my sins forgiven, your sins forgiven, past, present, and future. Listen, the greatest gift that is given during Christmas season is the fact that Jesus came so that He was headed to the cross to give us the gift of eternal life. The gift of forgiveness, the greatest gift that is out there that we can have. And so you ask the question, why would Jesus do that? Why would He do that? John 3:16, we know this one, but I love the fact that in John 3:16 and 17 gives us a beautiful, perfect picture of what Christmas is all about. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then it goes on, and I think this verse is just awesome. It says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. You see, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I feel condemned. I feel less worthy. I feel that, how could God love me? I've done too many bad things. Maybe there are some of you here tonight, as you're heading into this season, this has not been a joyous time for you. This is just one of those things you're saying, let's just get past this season because then I can just quit hearing about Jesus in a manger and quit hearing about Jesus as a baby. But ultimately, listen, the Christmas story today is the good news that though you may feel condemned, God did not show up on this planet to condemn you, but He loves you and He loves me. And the Christmas story is about the fact of why Jesus was born, why He came. And so tonight, as we prepare to take communion, really just the remembrance of the ultimate goal being completed and what Jesus did on the cross for us, I just want to take just a few minutes and maybe give someone an opportunity here tonight, Maybe as you've come here tonight, you didn't expect that maybe God might show up and begin to reveal something to you. But listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ in a personal way, man, God loves you. Jesus has come for you. He's died. He rose again. Listen, tonight can be a night that you ask Jesus to come into your life to forgive your sins. And listen, it may you won't always have the best days in the world, but your best days will be ahead. I promise you. Having Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And as we prepare to really to go into communion, a couple things here. I'm going to kind of walk you through. If you'd like to accept Christ tonight, I'm going to share a short prayer with you. This is not magic words. This is just your heart to God. And if you'd like to do that tonight, then man, we would rejoice with you as you step into a relationship with God. But for the rest of us, as we prepare to take communion, this is a time that we can open up our hearts to God and really begin to say, God, I don't want to take communion with things in my life that I know don't need to be there. That, God, I'm asking you to reveal things that I need to confess to you right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about the fact that as they prepared to take the Lord's Supper, that there were those who took it and they weren't prepared and it wasn't a good thing for them. The Bible says it's good that we examine our hearts to see if we're in the faith. As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, and I just invite you to, if you need to spend some time down here at the front, it's open, you can do it at your seat. But I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, you'll be praying along with me, and then we'll take just a few minutes, and then we'll move into communion. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is so clear, God, what you have done for us. It is so clear that, God, nothing happened by accident, that you came with a plan and a purpose, that you wanted so desperately for us to know you, to relate to you, to know you in a personal way. God, you know that we are unclean and unperfect people, but yet you love us anyway. So, Father, I pray tonight, if there's one that doesn't know you, that maybe tonight they might cry out from their heart to you, and they might say something like, Jesus, for the very first time, I want you to come into my life. I want you to come into my heart and save me. Come in and forgive me of my sins. I can't do it on my own. Jesus, today I want you to be my Savior, my Lord, my boss. Jesus, thank you for saving me tonight. Thank you that you went to the cross and you died and you rose again so that today you can be my personal living Savior. I can be, according to your word, have the right to be called a child of God. So God, we pray that someone needs to make that decision tonight, that tonight would be that night. God, we pray for the rest of us as we prepare our hearts to take communion. God, that if there is any unconfessed sin, Father, I pray that we would you'd bring that to our minds, and that even now we confess and agree with you that, God, it's not right. God, that we need to confess that and let it go and do a U-turn, is what repenting says, and go the other way. Father, we thank you for the beautiful picture of communion. We thank you for this night that we can worship you again in spirit and truth. So, Father, we pray your blessings upon the rest of our evening as we go into our Lord's Supper communion time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.